Introduction. Not of an age, but for all time. We should try to see Shakespeare plain. In the nearly 400 years since his death, so much has been written commenting on his writings and conjecturing about his life that he risks being buried under a mountain of books. He has become a monument, and the characteristic of monuments is that they glorify the dead and obstruct the traffic. At first sight, he looks forbiddingly grand. In his own time, he was already classed with Ovid and Seneca. The face we need to see plain is that of Shakespeare the playwright. The man himself remains a mystery. He left behind only his professional writing in its published form. No letters, lists, or notes have ever come to light. No word has been recorded of anything he actually said. We know no more about him than he wished us to know. The man Shakespeare is dust and bones, and future generations should concern themselves only with Shakespeare the author. While writing for the theatre of his time, he consciously wrote also for actors and audiences yet unborn. He knew his worth and predicted that his works would last. Not marble nor the gilded monuments of princes shall outlive this powerful rhyme. The plays belong to the company, who kept the original manuscripts under lock and key. After all, for a theatre, a good play is a capital asset. Even the actors were provided only with their own speeches and cues. These scripts were not in book form, but copied out on rolls, from which we get the word roll. Sometimes the company itself would arrange to have the play printed, either to counteract pirated editions, or because they had finished with the play. Even these were badly edited, with cast lists and stage directions missing, and verse being set up as prose, and vice versa. It was not until after Shakespeare's death that all the plays were printed in an authenticated omnibus version, known as the folio. Indeed, we would probably never have heard of Shakespeare at all, were it not for the labour of love of the folio's editors, two actors of his company called John Hemmings and Henry Condell. After that, Shakespeare's original manuscripts vanished forever. His theatre, The Globe, was the most successful in Elizabethan London, and there were 17 others. The Globe, and this is often forgotten, was a commercial theatre. It had to pay for itself. Theatrical managers know that their task is twofold. Firstly, you have to announce something that will bring the public into the theatre, and secondly, once they're inside, you have to give them their money's worth. Shakespeare, supreme showman as he was as expert at the first task as at the second. He picked up on the wavelength of his audience's curiosity. He knew their taste for pageantry. When the playbills went up announcing plays about English kings, the public would count on battle scenes, coronations, royal processions, and funerals. Besides, they were eager to know about the men who had made England what it was, and how their forefathers lived. The Wars of the Roses were no more distant to them than the American Civil War is to us, and Richard III had been dead for only 100 years.